by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, we are being blessed with an inconceivable good fortune to be together on pilgrimage in the association of wonderful devotees. At the eternal home of our great beloved acharyas, Sri Govardhan Hill. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last weeks, practically last days, during his physical pastimes with us in this world, his body it was heartbreaking for any devotees to see it. It was so thin and so frail. Many beloved disciples, god brothers, well wishers of Srila Prabhupada's, when they saw him in that condition just prior to his disappearance, they would cry, because Srila Prabhupada's body was transcendental. And it was the vehicle by which he could shower the divine grace of Krishna and Parampara throughout the world. And devotees loved Srila Prabhupada. Devotees understood in their heart of hearts that Srila Prabhupada's grace coming through his instructions and coming through his eternal person would always be with us if we carefully tried to serve him. But seeing the body in that condition was a very personal difficulty. One time, one of his disciples, who was a scientist, started to cry when he saw Srila Prabhupada's condition. And Prabhupada smiled. He said, "You are a scientist. You are a scientist. You require evidence. Well, I have been telling you for all these years that we are not these bodies. We are the eternal souls, part of Krishna. So now you see my body is almost gone, but I am still here. That is evidence, scientific." Srila Prabhupada never stopped giving Krishna consciousness. Our beloved god brother Yadubar Prabhu, who is with us this evening, he's making a updated documentary film on Srila Prabhupada's life. But soon after Srila Prabhupada's physical departure, he produced and created one of the most beautiful films that has ever been made. Your ever well wisher, which gives a glimpse into Srila Prabhupada's life and his contributions to the world. And toward the end of the film, Srila Prabhupada is laying on what we call in this world a deathbed. He was unable to sit, stand. He was just laying physically incapacitated. And His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj was holding a dictaphone really close to his mouth. And Yadubar Prabhu was filming it. And Srila Prabhupada was translating Srimad Bhagavatam and giving purports to the 10th canto. Up until the last moment, he was simply giving Krishna. When he was in that kind of state just before, he was invited to London and to America. So he said, take me. And all the doctors were saying, no, you cannot go, you will die. Srila Prabhupada said, it will be a great honor to die in the battlefield. What was his battlefield? On a very personal level, we can understand that he was fighting against the Maya within each of our hearts. He was going place to place to inspire us to be spiritually strong. He was dictating his books to the last moment practically. Through his prayers, through his books, through his travel and his inspiration, through his brilliant organization of a society, a community of Vaishnavas, he was fighting the battle of illusion. The whole world, and on a personal level within each of our hearts, he was there. As our general, giving us all the weapons, the holy names, the holy books, devotional service, and the strength to use them in the association of his devotees and so many of his other gifts. And he actually went to England, but he had to return. Because his health, it was impossible for him to go anywhere else. And he came back here to Vrindavan. And he told the devotees, I want to do Govardhan Parikrama. One of his last most desires. The doctor said, without doubt he will die if he's put on an ox cart and such rough roads. This is one of the opulences of being so close to the Parikrama path. I get to share so much enthusiasm of the pilgrims, the Brijbasis. And some of Srila Prabhupada's devotees, they said, yes, it is Guru Maharaj's wish, we must take him on Parikrama. They got the oxen, they got the cart, it was all ready. And others They were crying, begging Prabhupada, no, please don't go, you will die. And Srila Prabhupada smiled. He said, what better way will be there to die than on the Govardhan Parikrama? But some of the devotees were thinking, we are fulfilling Prabhupada's order by taking him. If he wants to die that way, that is his decision. And others were saying, but still, out of our love, it's almost like killing him by putting him on that cart. It was a very difficult condition. And there was so much. At the time when when Srila Prabhupada was inevitably going to leave us, he created such tension. A tension of love. Everyone was, whatever opinion they may have had, it was with deep love for Srila Prabhupada. Because in bhakti, love is not always one way or another. Hanuman loves Ram by carrying out his order. The gopas love Krishna by having Krishna carry them on their shoulders. Mother Yashoda loves Krishna by feeding him and protecting him and sometimes chastising him and tying him up to punish him. And the gopis' love for Krishna is to dance with him, to remember and embrace him in the core of their hearts forever. So Srila Prabhupada's churning the love of his devotees in such a tangible, powerful way. And when his dear godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, came to visit him, Srila Prabhupada smiled at him and said, Babaji Maharaj, see how much they love me. And Prabhupada, because the devotees were crying, Prabhupada, you're driving us mad. So Prabhupada said, to fulfill the wish of his devotees, he did not go. But with his murti, after he passed from this world, the devotees did parikrama around Govardhan Hill. Raghunath Das Goswami is our Prayojana Acharya. We know the story. He was the only child of Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, who were zamindars, or land owners of a huge estate, a property where there were hundreds, thousands of people living. They were actually given the rights to tax these people. In their own areas, they were like kings. And they amassed so much wealth, so much property. And Raghunath Das was the most important person in their lives because he was the sole heir to everything they had. And they were devotees. His parents would give donations to Sri Advaitacharya. They would sometimes give donations to Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. They were devotees. And their priest and their guru, Yadunandan Acharya and Balaram Acharya. When Haridas Thakur had just come from Benapol, he visited them in Chandpur, which is in the Adi Saptagram area, not too far from Navadvip, Mayapur. And there they arranged for him to be staying and giving talks on the glories of the holy names. Now, because this is the Navadvip area, there were many scholars of the scriptures. There were many babas and swamis and saints and rishis. Haridas Thakur was from an outcast family. He was rejected, persecuted, insulted, almost everywhere he went. People would spread lies about him. They would try to incriminate him in some sort of activity so that his life would be ruined. They wanted him in prison. They wanted him beaten. Many wanted him killed. And all he wanted is to just share his love of God with everyone. He just loved everyone. Even those who tried to destroy him in every way, he only prayed for Krishna to bless them with love of Krishna. And he would chant 300,000 times the names every day. So Balaramachandra and Yadunandan, they understood Haridas. He not only had knowledge, but he had realization. He was Nam Acharya. He was the living example of the greatness of the holy names, because he knew no other shelter but the holy names. And he wanted nothing else. When Raghunath was a small boy, he was brought to meet Haridas Thakur. And that had such an effect. All the jewels, the gold, the property, the power, the nice clothes, the fine foods, the beautiful ladies, everything that his family was providing for him, it was all insignificant distraction compared to what Haridas Thakur possessed. And Haridas Thakur was just wearing a little loincloth. He had no property, had no second set of clothes, perhaps. He had no home. He lived in caves. But he had a taste for the chanting of the holy names. And in that taste for the holy names, he was experiencing unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. He wanted that. And when he met Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur, he became so attracted spontaneously. He just wanted to serve Lord Chaitanya as the servant of the servant of his servants. And time passed, and so many challenges in his life. It's really amazing. I remember one time we went to Raghunath Das Goswami's birthplace. It's Krishnapur, which is not far from Chandpur. And there were hundreds of devotees We were all assembled right there at his house. What a place. And I was thinking, I have been longing to come here for decades and decades. And I asked everybody who was there, you know, how much are you happy and enthusiastic to be here? And everybody was saying, Hari Bol. And I said, well, we're so happy to come here. But Raghunath Das Goswami, his whole life was trying to escape and get out of here. And ultimately he did, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda at Panihati. Nityananda Prabhu, great lesson for everyone. He had Raghunath Das Goswami do a very simple service for all the Vaishnavas and all the people, to provide a feast of chitta dahi. Such a wealthy person. Chitta is flat chipped rice. It's the cheapest food. If any of you ever decide to be beggars, and you literally just give up everything and go out begging, most likely people will give you chitta. Because it's so cheap. They'll just throw some handfuls of chipped rice in your bag. I used to do that. And actually it's very, even though it's so cheap, it's really, really special. Because it doesn't spoil. You could take it into the Himalayas, you know, you just accumulate, you know what, and you could live on it for weeks, months. Just add a little river water to it, and it's very nice. Providing you're not expecting anything more. That's the way the mind works. Simple things could be so nice if you're not expecting something else. But if you expect something else, nothing's really nice. Yes? No matter what you have, if you're expecting something else, something more, you cannot be satisfied. But if you're satisfied with whatever Krishna's giving, you can be satisfied, you can be happy in any situation. Srila Prabhupada said, when we become advanced in Krishna consciousness, all we need is the holy name, a tree to sleep under, the association of devotees, and a little prasad. And we're happy. We don't need anything else. Simple. Simple living, high thinking. Chitta, mixed with some water from a little pond, is, with no sugar or salt or anything else, it's like nectar if you're hungry. And you're not expecting some mango pickles to mix in it or anything like that. If you expect anything, you'll never be happy. So he made a chitta dahi feast for everyone, and he put so many nice things in it. And because he served the Vaishnavas with such sincere devotion, and he was earnestly praying for the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the original guru Nityananda Prabhu blessed him. And ultimately Raghunath Das Goswami went to Jagannath Puri and became the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Swarup Damodar Goswami was Lord Chaitanya's personal secretary. And even though Raghunath Das was so educated, so wealthy, coming from such a high family, he was so humble. He always wanted to just serve the servant. Even when he had a question for Lord Chaitanya,
He could have approached him directly. Lord Chaitanya would have welcomed him. But he asked the question through Swarup Damodar Goswami. Now that I have renounced everything in this world, I don't even know why I did it. What is the true meaning and duties of one in the renounced order of life? Lord Chaitanya instructed him, do not speak prajalpa, gramyakata. Do not speak material subjects. Gramyakata is usually speaking about the faults of other people and about things that give us material sense enjoyment. Do not speak it, do not listen to it. Dress very simple. Offer all respect to others. Don't expect any respect for yourself. This is what renunciation means. And always chant Krishna's names. And always serve Shri Radha and Krishna. And in your heart of hearts, serve them in the land of Vrindavan. So Raghunath Das Goswami lived in such a spirit. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with him. He gave him as a gift his own Govardhan Shila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he worshipped Giriraj in such a way that he had a single stone that was given to him by one sannyasi, and he wore it around his neck over his heart. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, in the mood of Sri Radha, he saw that stone as the body of Krishna. It was her beloved Krishna. When he would go into ecstasies, he would hold the stone to his forehead. He would press Giriraj Shila to his heart. That Giriraj was constantly moistened by the tears of the ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya considered that Govardhan Shila his life and his soul. And he only had one. He gave his life and soul to Raghunath Das Goswami. And even arranged the articles to worship and to offer Sri Giriraj to Raghunath Das Goswami. And when Raghunath received it, he was thinking, in giving me Giriraj, my beloved Lord Sri Gauranga has given me eternal residence at Govardhan Hill. And in giving me his Gunja Mala, Gunja is just a little seed, kind of a little plant seed that grows in Vrindavan. By material standards, it just grows wild. But for Raghunath Das Goswami, he considered, because Mahaprabhu given me this Gunja Mala, he has given me the grace and the love of Sri Radharani in her service. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, and Swarup Damodar Goswami left this world, Raghunath Das Goswami decided to come to Govardhan Hill to end his life. And he came with that intention.
But first he met with Rupa and Sanatan Goswami to get their blessings. And they gave the blessing that you should stay with us.
Because no one else knows Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leelas like you do. You were his personal servant for so many years. You were the servant of his servant. You have the notebooks, the diaries of Swarup Damodar Goswami. You heard everything. You saw everything.
Reside at Sri Radha Kund and every day recite the pastimes and teachings of Lord Gauranga. Raghunath Das Goswami made his residence at Sri Radha Kund. From this beautiful story, we get a little glimpse into the sacredness of Govardhan Hill. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Radharani and Gopis, they declare Giriraj, the king of mountains, to be Haridas Varya,
the very dearmost, super excellent, best servant of Lord Hari.
And the other day we spoke on Govardhan Puja of how Sri Krishna personally manifested his personal form as Giriraj. Govardhan is Krishna. And at the same time, Govardhan is performing the leela of being the dearmost servant of Krishna. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, we have come. If our hearts are truly grateful, if we're really eager and enthusiastic to serve Giriraj, by our eagerness to hear, by our eagerness to chant, by our eagerness to serve his devotees, by our eagerness to pray for what pleases him. Giriraj himself, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, taught us how to pray. One of his prayers, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kabitam vaja kadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoite kitvai. So many people in this world pray to God for so many things. But Mahaprabhu is teaching us something that's revolutionary. I do not desire wealth. I do not desire enjoyments of the body and senses, even the most beautiful association of the opposite sex. I do not desire fame or followers. I do not desire great scholarship as a poet. I do not desire even liberation from suffering. My only desire, allow me to be your servant unconditionally, birth after birth after birth. This is the crest jewel of all goals of life, the Purushartha Siromani. The prayer for unconditional loving service. Samsidhir Haditoshanam, for the pleasure of Krishna. Giriraj is also called Kamagiri because he's especially merciful. And when we come here, if we pray with a sincere heart, Giriraj will fulfill our prayers. What will please him? When we pray for bhakti, when we pray for prem, when we pray for to be empowered by
by his grace to overcome the obstacles of false ego, selfishness, lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. The tendency of people in this world, and the tendency is there very much in devotees too, is we want to serve these anarthas. We have to deeply take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of Prabhupada's books, take shelter of the Association of Devotees, and take shelter of the holy names for Krishna's blessings to give us the strength to overcome these anarthas. And that's why we come to Govardhan Hill, not to think we're advanced, because if we think we're advanced, then there's nothing to ask for. Raghunath Das Goswami, how did he live at Govardhan? We cannot imitate him, but we must follow in the footsteps of the great souls. He would offer thousands of obeisances to Krishna in the form of Giriraj. Every day, he would offer thousands of obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Now, Radhakund was a very secluded place. Where are thousands of Vaishnavas? But he would offer thousands of obeisances to the Vaishnavas. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was living at Sri Radhakund at Giriraj Govardhan. And he would listen to the talks of Raghunath Das Goswami every day. And with the order of the great Vaishnavas and the blessings of Madan Mohanji and Govindaji, he wrote what he heard in the form of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Kaviraj Goswami is writing that I take the dust of the feet and worship every single devotee. The neophytes who are just coming to the path and the great Paramahamsa Acharyas. That was his appreciation. How much do we really appreciate Krishna? Kali Yuga, our tendency is to take things very cheaply. We take Krishna cheaply. We take Vaishnavas cheaply. We take the holy name cheaply. We take devotional service cheaply. But if we understand Krishna, if we actually have some real appreciation and love for Krishna, then like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami, we'll see anybody who's approaching Krishna with some sincerity is worshipable to me. How we humble ourselves to the Vaishnavas is actually a sign of how much we're actually appreciating Krishna. This person has a little spark of love for Krishna. If I really love Krishna, oh, how wonderful that spark is. This was Kaviraj Goswami's mood. So when we come here, this is what we pray for. This is what we long for. This is what we try to install on the altar of our heart's deepest aspirations. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajakadisha kami. Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohoite kita. For unconditional loving service, for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Raghava Pandit was living in a little cave near Surabhi Kund.
He was Champaklata, one of the Sakis of Sri Radha in Krishna's Leela. He was constantly immersed in the loving service of the Lord.
And the greatest acharyas, when they would come to Vrindavan,
Raghava Pandit would take them on parikrama. And in the Bhakti Ratnakar, there's a beautiful chapter where Jiva Goswami is instructing Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya to go on the parikrama under the guidance with the blessings of Raghava Pandit. And Narottam Das Thakur, in his one beautiful song, he is worshipping Sri Guru, worshipping the Vaishnavas, worshipping the holy name, Ananda Vrindavan, Ananda Bola Hari Bhaja Vrindavan. Chant the holy names of Hari and worship Vrindavan. And how to do so? Through worshipping the Guru and the Vaishnavas.
Vishaya chatiya kabe sudaha bimana kabe hamahedi bo sri Vrindavan.
When will I be free of these material desires? Then I will see Vrindavan. So we come here not to be great. We come here praying to be humble, so that we can actually serve the great and please the great. And Giriraj will fulfill our desires. The Garga Samhita tells the story of how Giriraj manifested in Goloka Vrindavan, in this spiritual world. It's a discussion between Narada Muni and Bahulaswa, a great king. Now, Nitya Leela is inconceivable to the human intelligence, because our human intelligence, especially Western education, it tries to categorize things and put things in boxes that are logical and make sense and that, you know, are consistent with other truths that make sense and all of that. And it's based on our sensual experiences. But Srila Prabhupada taught us that to understand Krishna, to understand bhakti, first principle, he quotes Jiva Goswami too, is Krishna has achintya shakti. He has inconceivable potencies. And this is why when we speak here in Vrindavan about Krishna's incredible pastimes, what is this Agasura? And what is this Putana? And how Krishna's, you know, sucking life out of this giant witch, and how he's expanding himself in the snake, and how he's showing the universe in his little mouth to his mother, and how he's lifting Giriraj Govardhan. It's not that he had one of those devices with the bubbles and everything to try to balance it. He just lifted like a child lifts a mushroom. Today, Govardhan Hill to walk, to do parikrama, is 23 kilometers. He just lifted and held. Is this, Srila Prabhupada said, this is not mythology. This is history. Materially, yes, it is impossible. But for Krishna, nothing is impossible. He's performing miracles at every moment through material nature. It's just we're so accustomed to see it, we don't even appreciate it. Krishna's inconceivable.
So to try to understand Nitya Lila, and at the same time, it's describing how something begins. How does something begin that has no beginning?
Hare Krishna. Well, we will tell the story of how the beginningless Govardhan began in the spiritual world.
Because inconceivable eternal nature, Krishna's eternally Giriraj in Goloka. But still, for the sake of pastimes, he'll give birth to Giriraj. So one day, Srimati Radharani and the gopis were performing the Ras Lila with Krishna at and in the forests of Vrindavan. And Sri Radha, sitting alone with Krishna, she said, if you are pleased with me, if you are pleased with my love and the love of the gopis, and if you are pleased with our rasa dance together and with the beautiful loving forests of Vrindavan, please fulfill one desire that I am having. Krishna said, whatever pleases you is my only desire. Sri Radha said, create in this Ras Mandala, this area of the Rasa dance, near the Yamuna River's banks, the supreme, most pleasurable place for us to perform our pastimes together. Krishna said, so be it. He closed his eyes and meditated very deeply on the very essence of his love within his heart. And that love, the essence of the love of his heart, which is the source of all happiness, it manifested from his heart as a spark of fire and water and entered into the sacred dust of Goloka Vrindavan. And immediately that little seed began to grow, and it grew and grew and grew. And minutes later, it was a magnificent mountain, the most beautiful mountain in all spiritual world. It's Giriraj, the king of mountains. And when Sri Radharani saw that, Krishna took her by the hand and they explored the waterfalls, the trees, the caves. And it became the favorite playground for Krishna and the gopas and the cows and the gopis and Krishna. When Krishna was to descend into this world, once in a day of Brahma, he descends in his original personal form. In every yuga, he comes as a yuga avatar. There are many descriptions of lila avatars. For the creation of the world, he has his purusha avatars. For managing the modes of material nature, he has his gunavatars. For the purpose of management of universal affairs, he has his manuanvatars. But Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, once in a day of Brahma. That's over 8 billion years.
He comes to this world personally.
From Goloka, he told Sri Radha, I am descending into the world. Please come. She said, I will go wherever you go. But my greatest happiness will be if with us the holy river Yamuna that is flowing forever in Goloka. Giriraj, Govardhan Hill, and the forests of Vrindavan. Krishna smiled. He said, they have already descended in their expanded forms, original expanded forms, as he was going, not exactly expanded. His original form descended. And similarly, Giriraj, Jamuna, and the forests of Vrindavan are the original play lilastans of Krishna in the spiritual world that are appearing within this world. And the story of how Giriraj long before came down to this world in order to fulfill this purpose, especially of giving all of us mercy. Krishna, in the form of Giriraj, descended in Samalidweep as the son of Dronachala. And all the other mountains in the universe understood that this is the essence of Krishna's love in the form of a mountain. The king of mountains from Goloka Vrindavan, the highest planet in the spiritual world, has descended into this universe. So they all honored and worshipped and showered flowers on Giriraj. Once Pulastya Muni came to that place, and he never saw anything so beautiful as Giriraj. So he asked the father of Giriraj, Dronachala, I would like to take him to my ashram in Kashi. Kashi, the river Ganga is flowing so mercifully, but there's no beautiful mountains. I want to do my bhajan, my sadhana there. Dronachala was very brokenhearted. How could you say no to a great sage? And at the same time, how could I be separated from Giriraj? So Giriraj told him that because Giriraj had a plan. He was coming to be a part of Krishna's leelas. Not only a part, the heart of Krishna's leelas. He said, I will go with you, but how are you going to take me? Pulastya Muni said, I will carry you with my right hand. He said, all right, under one condition, that if anywhere you put me down, I will not move from that place. Pulastya Muni was a great mystic yogi. He knew his own powers. He was very confident. He said, yes. And as they were traveling, when they came to Braj Bhumi, Sri Giriraj could see, this is my eternal abode manifested on earth. This is where I will appear. In the mood of a devotee, this is where my beloved Radharani and Krishna will appear to perform their pastimes. So by Giriraj's desire, Pulastya Muni had a very, very intense necessity to respond to the call of nature. So being a great Brahmin, he put Giriraj down, he responded, and when he came to pick him up, Giriraj did not move. He was very angry. Giriraj said, no, you... this was the arrangement. Now I am here forever. Pulasya Muni, it was actually Krishna in his heart. He said, what is a blessing of a sage is, what is a curse is a blessing. He said, because you are not cooperating, every day you will shrink in size by the size of a mustard seed. Now this was way back, Satyayuga, long ago. Because Giriraj was so big. So by the time Krishna came, he was just the perfect size for the beautiful pastimes of the Lord. And when the gopis offer this prayer, Haridas Varya, you are, Srila Prabhupada explains it in this way, that you are most dear to Krishna. Because you are providing all the pleasures and the necessities to the cows and to Krishna's devotees. And they explain how Giriraj, in his ecstasy of love, is doing seva. Krishna's Govinda. It's his leela to give pleasure to cows. He's Gopal. He's the protector of cows. And Giriraj is Govardhan, which means he nourishes cows. And they live forever in Goloka, the planet of cows. And they're living here as Gokula, the home of the cows. Giriraj, like the hair standing on end of his body, he provides unlimited grass for the cows to eat. And every single blade of grass is an offering of ecstatic, infinite love of Giriraj. Every blade of grass is intoxicatingly fragrant, is so sweet and delicious to eat, is very soft, gentle. So in every season, so when the cows eat it, not only does it smell nice and it tastes ecstatic, but it feels so good in their mouth. And every grade of grass has such nourishment that it makes the cows very healthy and very happy. And each and every single blade of grass creates, when the cows eat it, milk that has the fragrance of lotus flowers and has such taste and nourishment beyond anything that we can even imagine. And Giriraj is providing unlimited grass like this for cows. And the cows reciprocate. With that milk that's produced from that grass, they're in such ecstatic gratitude and love for Giriraj and for Krishna and for Sri Radha that milk is dripping from their udders. And they're watering the grass with their udder. This is loving reciprocation. It's kind of like we take water from the Ganga and offer it back to the Ganga with love. The cows are taking the grass, it's making milk, and they're offering the grass back to the grass. That is Giriraj. And unlimited trees at the time of Krishna. And if you have the spiritual vision, you may see today. And all the trees, they're Kalpavriksha trees. They have so many flowers and so many fruits. And Srila Prabhupada explains the nature of the trees on Giriraj and the nature of the Kalpavriksha trees in Vrindavan. they fulfill whatever desire you have. Any fruit you want from any tree, it will come instantly. Any flower, but most of all, the fruits and flowers of Krishna Prem are fulfilled when we just desire them under one of these trees. When we hear about the six Goswamis sleeping under different trees every night, we kind of think that's such a state of renunciation. Yes? They were living, Rupa and Sanatan and Ram Kali, they were living in magnificent palaces. Raghunath Das Goswami, such an estate of wealth. And now they're sleeping under different trees every night. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, when people would come from Vrindavan back to Bengal or Orissa, the first thing the devotees would ask those people coming back from their pilgrimage, have you seen Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath Das? Have you seen them? Everyone loved them so much. And they would say, how they're living. They're sleeping under different trees every night. They're only wearing kopan. Kopan is just the loincloth, and it's usually just the cloth that the Brijabasis discard. And they make it into a little, wrap it around their waist, and a little chadar. And they're just begging for some roti, some wheat, or some chickpeas. But they're constantly chanting the holy names. They're constantly talking about Krishna. They're constantly crying in separation from Krishna and Lord Gauranga. And they're writing books in that state. They ask for nothing, but they're giving the world the greatest things. Now for us, sleeping under these trees is an austerity. But for the Goswamis, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. When we have love in our heart, we don't see just through these little eyes that are made of flesh and water. We see through that love. It's the soul, the Atma Singh. And only Radharani can bless us. Only Krishna can bless us with that vision. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalaka. And they are manifesting that vision through the grace of their beloved servant, the spiritual master. We are all here today because Srila Prabhupada is giving us that vision. So, what were you saying? the trees. So the six Goswamis, what is their vision? They are seeing each tree as a kalpa briksha, as a manifestation of Krishna's infinite mercy that's descended from the spiritual world as an eternal associate, and all the Shakti of Radharani and Krishna's grace is manifesting through these trees. It was a greater opulence than Indra's palace by millions of times. Because they were saragrahi. They were seeking the essence. Giriraj, unlimited such trees. And caves, beautiful caves. When the cowherd boys, the gopas, the gopis, the cows, the calves, the bulls, when they would come to Sri Giriraj, they would taste the fruits. They would make wonderful garlands and smell the aromas of the flowers. They would go into the caves. The caves were cool in the summer and warm in the winter. Giriraj made those caves in such a way that they had wonderful jewels on the walls and wonderful sitting places and places where the cows could rub themselves and be very happy. Private places where Radharani and Krishna or gopis or the gopas when they're playing where they could rest. Giriraj created waterfalls, lakes, little rivers, ponds and creeks, and the water was pure nectar. A nectar that was sweeter than the Amrit in the heavenly planets. After many, many births of great sacrifices and pious activities, one can attain the heavenly planets and drink nectar. But here was a nectar millions and trillions, unlimitedly greater than the nectar in the spiritual world. And it's available every day, all day, for the cows and the calves and the peacocks and the deers and the buffaloes and the gopas and the gopis and everyone. Because this nectar is premamrita. It doesn't just quench your thirst. It awakens the ecstasy of love. By giving all these beautiful facilities for the happiness of Krishna's devotees, Giriraj is expert at pleasing Krishna. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principle. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Das Anudas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Should I continue? Should we take a little parikrama around Govardhan Hill? Tomorrow is Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. I don't know what the schedule is, but I hope they will announce it. There will be a program in the morning, and there will also be a program in the evening. And especially the program in the evening, please, everyone be here by 5 o'clock. Because as far as I know, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, and possibly other great saints will be here to discuss Srila Prabhupada's pastimes and his teachings tomorrow evening. And in the afternoon also we will have it is his disappearance day, so tomorrow we will have the ceremonies for Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. We'll begin at... We'll bathe at Manasi Ganga. It's recommended. You could begin the parikrama anywhere. Or let us begin at Kusum Sarovar. Kusum Sarovar is a beautiful temple. That temple is a symbol of Braj Bhumi. And it is there that there's a forest, Pushpavan, where Sri Radha and gopis would collect flowers to make garlands and wonderful artistic flower arrangements to offer Krishna at Radha Kund when they would perform their pastimes there. The lake of Kusum Sarovar is filled with the bhava of Sri Radha and Krishna. It is described that Astavakra Muni, he was one of the great sages of the Puranas and Vedas. He was living on the banks of Kusum Sarovar, waiting for Radharani and Krishna to appear within this world. And when he had the darshan of Radha Krishna on the banks of Kusum Sarovar at this Pushpavan, he gave up his life. Narada Muni, he approached Lord Shiva and expressed to Lord Shiva that even though Narada Muni is the guru of Dhruva, the guru of Prahlad, the guru of King Prachini Varhishat, the guru of Valmiki Muni, the guru of Magrari, he's the guru of almost everybody. When we read the Vedas, he happens to be everywhere. But his deepest wish was to observe Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, because he understood that this is the highest and the deepest manifestation of spiritual love. Some people worship God for material benefits in this world. When we understand that life is so short and no matter what benefits, you have to suffer terribly in this world. Some people want to go to heavenly planets. When we understand that even Indra's in anxiety there from time to time, we want to go to the highest planets. When we understand Tapaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, that they're all meditating because they want to get out of the material creation. So some people want liberation in the Brahma Jyoti, no more suffering. But Narada Muni, he understands all these things. Beyond that is bhakti, elevation into the loving service of the Lord in Vaikuntha. And beyond that is Goloka, the loving service of Sri Krishna in the role, in the mood of the Brijabasis. And beyond that, the highest manifestation within Vrindavan is the love between Krishna and the gopis. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shaktirashma. The love of Radha and Krishna. Narada Muni is the greatest renunciate. There's no way to even tempt him with material sense gratification. Narada Muni bhajai vinaradhika ramana name. He's constantly chanting the names of Radha Raman, traveling all over the universe. And he prayed to Shiva, give me a mantra by which I could witness, I could have the vision to witness the love of Krishna and the gopis. So Shiva gave him a mantra, Mahadev, and told him to come to a place in Brajbhumi called Naradavan, which is just where Kusum Sarovar is. And Narada Muni was performing his bhajan, chanting the names and meditating. And one day, Brinda Devi, who is the presiding empress of Vrindavan on behalf of Sri Radha, Brinda Devi, who makes every possible arrangement in Brajbhumi for the pleasure of Krishna and Sri Radha and all their devotees' loving pastimes, she approached Narada Muni. And he, after he developed the mature fruit of his chanting of the mantra that he was given, he expressed his desire to be able to actually experience through his vision
the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna.
Now, this is very interesting because it's something we could connect to. He was living there at Naradavan, which is just close to Radhakund and Shyamkund. Krishna and Sri Radha are eternally performing their pastimes there. But Narada Muni understood, unless we are given the vision by the grace of the Lord's devotees, even he cannot see. So Brinda Devi told him that the pastimes of Krishna and gopis, you can only enter with the body of a gopi. Being a male was a disqualification. She told him, chanting the mantra, meditating deeply with this prayer in your heart, go to the northwestern corner of Kusum Sarovar. And because this kund is filled with the Mahabhava of Sri Radha, your desire will be fulfilled. Narada Muni took his bath in Kusum Sarovar, the same place that we're bathing by Prabhupada's grace. And when he came out of the water, he had the body of a gopi, Naradi Gopi. And Brinda Devi took him to Sri Shyamkund, Radhakund, where he could actually perceive and experience Krishna's Madhurya Lila with his gopis. He could actually witness the love of Sri Radha for Shyamsundar. He could actually see that reciprocation of love. And Radha Gopinath, they told Narada Muni, now you have experienced it, now you write the Narada Bhakti Sutras and share this realization with the world. So Brinda Devi took him to the southeastern corner of Kusum Sarovar. And he went inside. He went in as a gopi, and he came out as the great sage Narada Muni. And at Narada Kund, that is where he is. He actually, in his spiritual form, never leaves there. If we continue a little more, we'll get to, is it Radha Banbihari? Yes, Mataji's little temple right on the banks of Kusum Sarovar. Pulinja Devi, would you like to stand up for a moment? She has been doing seva there on the banks of Kusum Sarovar for a beautiful Giriraj for many, many years. So please visit her temple and bless, pray for all blessings to be upon her wonderful service. A little further, we'll just explain a few places. There is, if you go inside to the right from the Parikrama path, beautiful shady trees. There is Shyamvan or Shyamkutir. There's a footprint of Lord Krishna there. And according to our scriptures and acharyas, Radharani would sit on a throne with Krishna called the Ratna Singhasan. And there are limitless beautiful pastimes that they would exchange sitting on that throne together. But one wonderful pastime is written in the Srimad Bhagavatam that took place there at that Ratna Singhasan. It was the full moon night
of the Palgun month when we celebrate Holi.
We know that Hiranyakashipu's sister, Prahlad's aunt, Hiranyakashipu was trying to do everything to kill his little son. Prahlad is only 5 years old. He didn't have any training in martial arts. He didn't have any weapons. He didn't have anybody to protect him. He was just all alone. And Hiranyakashipu, one movement of his eyebrows, and all the demigods in the heavens who were all his slaves, he controlled the universe up to Swargaloka. He had massive armies. He had inconceivable powers. And little Prahlad was never fought back. He just was always remembering Krishna. And Krishna was always there to protect him. So one of the ways Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him is for his sister to hold Prahlad in a blazing fire till he burned to death. Because she had a benediction that she could not be burned by fire. And the fire was burning, 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 burning. And Prahlad was just Hare Krishna, sitting there remembering Krishna. And ultimately, it was too much. His aunt burned to death. And little Prahlad just walked out, fearless. He was just happy with Krishna. So this is Holi. And it's celebrated in Vrindavan in so many beautiful ways with colors. Radharani has her side, Krishna has her side, and they have a battle of love, of offering sweets and offering flowers and offering beautiful natural coloring flowers. It's all expressions of love. But on this particular full moon night, Krishna and Balaram were with gopis. And there, at Shyamkutir, Krishna and Balaram, they were intoxicated with love for their devotees. And the devotees were intoxicated with love for them. And the whole forest of Giriraj Govardhan was intoxicated with the love for Krishna Balaram, Radharani and Krishna. And wonderful flowers were blooming. Very, very gentle, cool breezes were blowing. The birds were singing the most wonderful songs. And Krishna and Balaram were so inspired for the pleasure of gopis. They sang together. How did they sing together? This is inconceivable. Sare gama pada nisa. Yes? How many can you say at once with your voice? Krishna and Balaram were singing every single note of every single scale simultaneously. And it sounded absolutely beautiful. The most beautiful sound you can imagine. When Krishna plays his flute, the love of his heart flows from his heart through the holes of his flute to make that music. Similarly, when Krishna sings for the pleasure of his devotees, Krishna and Balaram, they were intoxicated by their own singing. It was so sweet. Literally, all the notes of all the scales of all the ragas were simultaneously like nectar pouring from their mouths. And the gopis were so happy. They were dancing together. At that time, an assistant of Kuvera, who had a very beautiful body, who was extremely wealthy, he was one of the treasurers of the heavenly planets. he was extremely powerful.
And he had the most precious, exquisite jewel that he wore on his head. His name was Shankarchuda. He was proud.
Srila Prabhupada explains, when one is proud,
arrogant, due to having a high birth, due to having a lot of wealth, a lot of beauty, a lot of strength, then one thinks that I am the enjoyer. And whatever is attractive, it should be for me.
You see, when we're arrogant, we're subject to be envious.
When we don't have what somebody else has,
when we have false pride, we have the tendency to think I'm better than somebody who doesn't have what I have.
When we have false pride, we can become very depressed when we don't get what we think we expect.
And most of all, when we're intoxicated with false pride, we come into the illusion where we justify our arrogance.
I have the right to judge others.
How could you criticize a person unless you feel that you're in a superior position? Amani na manadena.
When great souls like Srila Prabhupada would sometimes, you know, point out faults, it was earnestly with compassion to protect us, to purify us like a doctor.
A doctor will tell you, stay away from this, it will cause you disease.
Or you have this disease, take this medicine, recognize it. But that's with compassion.
But the nature of arrogance or the false ego
is we think that we have that right.
So Shankarchuda, he saw the beauty of the gopis.
And he was thinking that these women should be enjoyed only by me. Who is this Krishna and Balaram? What right did they have to enjoy these beautiful women? It is my right.
So he was so arrogant. He picked up a stick and started shouting at the gopis that they should come with him. He didn't touch them. He didn't have that power, although he didn't know that. But he was driving them in the northern direction.
You come with me.
Right in front of Krishna Balaram. Actually, you know, we should be a little introspective too, because Krishna's in our heart. So whatever we do is right in front of Krishna too. When we're trying to steal his property, when we're trying to enjoy unethical or sinful activities, or when we're trying to, you know, criticize or make judgment over others, we're right in the presence of Krishna too. So the Shankarchuda is living within us. We have those propensities. So Shankarchuda was driving the gopis, and the gopis were crying out for Krishna and Balaram to help. And he was very angry. He was a very powerful person. And the gopis cried so sincerely that Krishna and Balaram picked up logs and chased after Shankarchuda. Shankarchuda, when he saw Krishna Balaram very angry coming after them, he became afraid and he ran away. And Krishna told Balaram, you take care of gopis, I will take care of Shankarchuda. So leaving the gopis in the protective custody of Balaram, Krishna ran very fast. Shankarchuda was
very distant away.
But by Krishna's transcendental powers, even though it was a long distance between them, in a second Krishna was right behind him. How did he do that? Because he's Krishna. And he took his lotus-like fist and sounded much nicer than that, actually. He hit Sankarchuda, and Sankarchuda was liberated. Then Krishna took that jewel from his head, and he came back, and all the gopis were watching. Krishna gave that jewel to Lord Balaram. Later, Balaram gave that jewel to Sri Radharani. According to Rupa Goswami, later that jewel became the Shamantaka jewel. But the deliverance of Sankarchuda and this wonderful message for each of us was a pastime at the Ratna Singha. Close to there is Gwalpur, and that's where the cowherd boys and Krishna, every day when they would perform their leelas around Govardhan Hill, they would have wonderful pastimes there, and they would often take prasad there in the late morning, early afternoon. And it was from there that Krishna would very quietly go to Radha Kund to meet Sri Radharani. And then we come to Manasi Ganga. We described in Vrindavan how Kamsa sent an asura named Batsa, who assumed the form of a little calf. What is more innocent and sweet than a little baby calf? This is how Maya could work. It's a good lesson. Maya can tempt us and try to distract us away from our bhakti, even by appearing in ways that are very sweet and very innocent, with the intent to destroy us. So that was Vatsasura, such a crooked person. He was just playing with the little calves, and he was waiting for the moment where he could kill Krishna. And Krishna said to Balaram, "You see that little calf? He's a demon." And Krishna just walked up behind the calf and took him by the hind legs and whirled him around and threw him to the top of a kapita tree. Does everyone know kapita tree? Kapita is a fruit. It is a favorite fruit for monkeys. Monkeys love kapita fruits. Anyways, they're really nice fruits. So Krishna threw him, and he fell in the trees of the kapita. Afterward, with the gopals, the gopas, they were here at Giriraj, and the cowherd boy said to Krishna that you just killed a calf, so you should purify yourself by taking bath in the Ganges River. So Krishna sat down and closed his eyes. And with his mind, he meditated on Mother Ganga. And Ganga, she's coming from Krishna. She's actually a Krishna Shakti. So from Krishna's mind, from Krishna's heart, he was thinking and meditating, Mother Ganga appeared and filled up the lake Manasi Ganga.
which in those days was really big. And the cowherd boys were so happy. They all went in with Krishna and they took their baths. One day, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and the Brijabasis, they heard a story about the glories of the Ganga. How once Garuda had caught a snake. And as he was flying with this snake, the tail of the snake somehow or other touched the waters of the Ganga. And instantly, the snake manifested the liberated form of an associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha. He had a bluish complexion and four arms. And then Garuda, instead of having within his claws, he put that snake, who was now a liberated soul, on his back and flew to take him to Vaikuntha. So when Nanda Maharaj and the Brijabasis heard the story, they said, we also want to get liberated. Let us take a pilgrimage to the Ganga. So they were loading the carts, the ox carts, with all the necessities, because it's many days of going to where the Ganga is. And Krishna saw, he said, what are you doing? They said, we are going to get liberated by bathing in Ganga. Krishna says, Ganga's in Brajbhumi. There's no need for you to go anywhere. Krishna was just a little child. This is when he was still herding calves. They said, what do you mean? There's no Ganga in Brajbhumi. He said, yes, yes, there is. They said, no, there isn't. You're just a child. What are you saying? He said, come with me. I'll show you. They said, no, no, we're going. Come with us. And he said, no, no, come. He pulled Nanda Maharaj by the hand. And ultimately, they'll do anything to please Krishna. So they came to Manasi Ganga, which was Mother Ganga, who appeared from Krishna's mind. And as soon as the Brijabasis appeared, from the waters of Manasi Ganga, Ganga Devi, the goddess of the Ganga, appeared, riding on a crocodile. And right in front of everyone, she worshipped little Krishna. So they understood, Ganga has come to Vrindavan. And they all took their baths very happily. Manasi Ganga is the essence of the Ganga. It's one of the favorite. When the Ganga flows anywhere, it is supremely sacred. But when the Ganga flows in Brajbhumi, the eternal abode of Sri Sri Radha Krishna's pastimes, it is even millions of times more sanctified. And Krishna and Sri Radha, from that day, they would perform beautiful pastimes on boats in the Manasi Ganga. Jiva Goswami describe some of these beautiful pastimes in the Gopal Champu. On the banks of Manasi Ganga, one day, the gopis were waiting for Krishna. Because Govardhan, during the springtime, is the place of Krishna's Ras Lila. And so many places in Giriraj are even revealed today, where Krishna and Sri Radha would perform these pastimes of their rasa dance. So one day the gopis were sitting on the banks of Manasi Ganga waiting for Krishna's separation, and Krishna was not coming. So they were crying and crying and crying out the name Haridev, Haridev, Haridev. And as they were crying, Haridev, 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 they were actually about to leave their bodies. They were in such an intense state of love and separation. And at that moment, right before their eyes, Krishna manifested the form of a deity, Haridev.
And Sri Radha and Gopis worshipped that deity of Krishna with great love, with flowers, with water from Manasi Ganga, and with beautiful prayers.
And they would regularly come and worship that deity.
And in honor of that beautiful pastime, Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranab, installed the deity of Haridev, the presiding deity of the Govardhan area of Brajbhumi. Vajranab installed many deities throughout Brajbhumi. One was Srinathji, or Gopal, on top of Govardhan Hill. Dauji in Gokul. Keshav in Mathura. Govinda Dev in Vrindavan. In this way, this deity was visited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's how he began his Govardhan Parikrama, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He first bathed in Manasi Ganga, and then he came to the Haridev Mandir. And when he saw Haridev, he saw the beautiful form of Krishna as a seven-year-old little boy with his arm raised, holding up the Govardhan Hill, his left arm, and with his right hand holding a flute. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw, he was offering beautiful prayers to Giridhar Govardhan Dhari. You have lifted the Govardhan Hill to protect your devotees. We pray to Sri Giriraj to protect us from the anartas within our own heart, to protect us from the influences of Maya. And by his beauty, by his sweetness, by his loving glance, to inspire us with pure, unmotivated, loving, devotional service. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this spirit, performed Nam Sankirtan. For hours and hours and hours, he was dancing in ecstasy in front of Giridhari, Sri Haridev. And all the villagers from this area of Govardhan, they heard his beautiful singing, and they came before him, and they could actually witness how the same Haridev who's lifting Govardhan Hill, who's standing on the altar, is now dancing in front of himself in the form of Lord Chaitanya in a beautiful golden complexion. On the banks of Manasi Ganga, we find Chakratirtha. When Krishna lifted up the Govardhan Hill for 7 days, he called his Sudarshan Chakra. And his Sudarshan Chakra was creating heat to evaporate the water that was falling from the hill so it wouldn't go under the hill to disturb the pastimes with Krishna and all of the Brijbasis. And after Krishna put Giriraj down again, effortlessly, as it was before, Sudarshan never felt such happiness as being in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. So he requested a place to reside eternally in Brajbhumi. And Krishna gave him this place, Chakratirtha, on the banks of Manasi Ganga and the Govardhan Parikrama. Vajranab, he installed Chakaleshwar Mahadev. He installed many deities of Shiva, predominantly Kameshwar Mahadev and Kamyavan, Bhuteshwar Mahadev and Mathura,
Nandeshwar Mahadev in Nandagaon, Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan, and Chakaleshwar Mahadev at Govardhan.
Sanatan Goswami, especially during the last part of his pastimes in this world, he was living at Chakaleshwar Mahadev. When he was in Vrindavan, he would regularly visit Gopeshwar Mahadev. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, as the greatest Vaishnav, by the grace of Lalita Sakhi and the love of Sri Radha's tears, he manifested his gopi form to participate in the Rasa Leela. And at Chakaleshwar Mahadev, Sanatan Goswami was so happy to be there, living at Giriraj, Govardhan. Srila Sanatan Goswami every day would circumambulate Govardhan Hill, year after year after year, without fail, daily. But he didn't do the parikrama that we do. He did the parikrama that is 24 miles, going to Chandra Sarovar, Rasa Stali, Kadambak, Gantuli, all these distant places. And then he would come back to Manasi Ganga, Chakratirtha, where he would perform his bhajan. And he would write his books. Sanatan Goswami was the guru of Vrindavan. He loved the Brijabasis. Sometimes he would travel from place to place in his younger days, all around Vrindavan. And when he would come to a village, the entire village, it was the highlight of their life whenever Sanatan Goswami would come. They would all greet him with so much affection. He was their guru. He was their friend. He was their servant. He was their well-wisher. He was their guide. He was everything. Because he cared so much. The Bhakti Ratnakar explains when he would come to the village, he would just speak to them in such personal ways. They were Brijabasis. He would ask, how are your crops growing this year? And did you get your daughter married yet? Just simple talk, but it would capture their hearts. He took such personal, special interest in everyone's life, every aspect of their life. And how they would love to hear him speak Krishna Katha. They would feed him, they would serve him, and everyone, garlands, prasad, and Sanatan Goswami would take so little of everything. But he gave so much love to the Brijabasis. When he would leave their village, everyone, men, women, children, everyone would be weeping and crying and thanking him and begging him to return. And as he would lovingly take leave of them, he would go to the next village. And everybody was there to greet him. That was Sanatan Goswami, the guru of Vrindavan, the Sambandha guru for our whole sampradaya, the guru of Rupa Goswami. When he was becoming very old, he was still doing the very extended parikrama of Giriraj every day. And Krishna, Giridhari, it was very difficult to see how Sanatana Goswami was really struggling to do it. So Krishna appeared as a little cowherd boy, very beautiful, sweet cowherd boy, and told Sanatana Goswami that you're too old to do this parikrama every day. And Sanatana Goswami said, but it is my regulation. I have been doing it for years. I must. And the little boy was so attractive. He said that he actually climbed to the top of Govardhan Hill and brought down a Govardhan Shila. On the Govardhan Shila, it had Krishna's footprints. And it had the footprints of little cows and calves. And it had the footprint, it had a print of Krishna's cowherd stick. And he said that this Shila is Giriraj. If you circumambulate this Shila 7 times, it is the same as doing parikrama of Govardhan Hill. And Sanatana Goswami said, whatever you say. And then the little boy disappeared. And when the little boy disappeared, Sanatana Goswami understood. Krishna revealed to him in his heart of hearts that that was Krishna. He didn't recognize him, but that was Krishna. It was Krishna's order to Sanatana Goswami to do parikrama of the Shila instead of the whole hill. This is loving reciprocation, because Sanatana Goswami cared so much for the health, for the prosperity, for every aspect of the Brijavasi's life. Krishna had that same care for him and personally came for Sanatana Goswami's comfort. There's a famous story. Sanatana Goswami at Chakaleshwar Mahadev, sometimes around the sunset time and at night, many big hungry mosquitoes would come. And he was doing his bhajan. The six Goswamis, they hardly slept 2 to 3 hours a night at the most. And on many times they were so immersed in hearing and chanting and writing their literatures and talking about Krishna that they just forgot about sleeping. But the mosquitoes were very much disturbing. It's not that Sanatana Goswami got odomos. Oh, he was so compassionate. For him, even the mosquitoes are Brijavasis. Rather than they, he just decided, I will leave. So he actually, that day, he decided tomorrow morning, as the mosquitoes were getting him, tomorrow morning I will leave. I cannot do my bhajan here. But Chakaleshwar Mahadev, how much he loved the association of Sanatana Goswami. So Lord Mahadev himself took the form of a Brahmin and said to Sanatana Goswami the next day, he said, where are you going? He said, I cannot stay here. Mosquitoes are too disturbing. And the Brahmin said, from this day on, there will be no more mosquitoes. Just stay. Sanatana Goswami, because he was asked by a Brahmin to stay, that was Sanatana Goswami's humility. If you are asking me to stay, I will stay. Then Lord Shiva, he's Mahadev, he's the greatest of the devas. He went to the demigod who supervises the mosquitoes.
any order. No, none of your people should come to Chakaleshwar Mahadev, Chakra Tirtha.
And from that day on, not a single mosquito would come. And Sanatan Goswami performed his puja there. And the other Goswamis at Radha Kund, Raghunath Das Goswami resided. Rupa Goswami had a bhajan kutir there. Jiva Goswami had bhajan kutir. Gopal Bhatta Goswami had a home there, bhajan kutir. And whenever they were, they would regularly come to meet with Sanatan Goswami at Chakra Tirtha. Very holy place. And it was there in Chakra Tirtha on Guru Purnima, the day of the full moon, where Vyasadeva, the original Guru, is worshipped, that Sanatan Goswami ended his pastimes in this world. He was just sitting totally immersed in Sri Sri Radha Govinda's, Radha Madan Mohan's eternal Leela, chanting the holy names. And when all the devotees came to meet him on Guru Purnima, the Goswamis, the Brijabasis, they saw him sitting there, and he was gone. Everyone, the whole of Braj Bhumi was weeping and weeping and weeping. Their best friend, their guru, their well-wisher, their brother, their everything had left them. And in honor of Sanatan Goswami, they performed the parikrama of Sri Giriraj. And that is why even today, over 400 years later, the Brijabasis, the main day for Govardhan Parikrama is Guru Purnima. And I remember asking Brijabasis, why on this day do so many hundreds and thousands of Brijabasis come to do Guru Parikrama? And they said, because this is the day when we honor our Guru, Sanatan Goswami. Some of these Brijabasis, they were of different sampradayas or of no sampradayas. But they all loved Sanatan Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami loved them. And he loved their children, and he loved their cows, and he loved their buffaloes, and he loved the peacocks. He loved Braj Bhumi. And they carried his holy form to be put in Samadhi just near the Madan Mohan temple in Vrindavan. At Manasi Ganga, there is the Mukharavinda, which is, according to Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it is the mouth of Giriraj. Now, different sampradayas have different places they call the mouth of Giriraj. At Jatipur, the Pushti Marg, the followers of Sripad Vallabhacharya, they accept that stone as Mukharavinda. So we can debate which is the mouth of Giriraj. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we worship Mukharavinda at Manasi Ganga. But Giriraj is unlimited. He could manifest his mouth anywhere he wants. So for the Pushti Marg, that is the mouth of Govardhan. And for us, this is the mouth of Govardhan. When Krishna accepted the offerings, his hands were everywhere, his mouth. Ye yathamam prapadyante. So Mukharavinda is, we will find, since
centuries and centuries, the Brijbasis and the Vaishnavas, they offer milk, they offer garlands to Sri Giriraj's. As we just come a little out of the village of Govardhan, I think that's where you all buy your Son Papris too, right? There's a particular shop that makes them. Huh? Can you say louder? Giriraj. Okay, you all heard that. Anyways, as far as I have analyzed, that is one of the most popular holy places in all of Govardhan Parikrama. Everywhere in the world is the Son Papri from Giriraj. But a little further down is Dangati. And this is a place where Krishna would disguise himself as a tax collector. He would put on his special clothes. And when Sri Radharani and her gopis and sakis would be coming to go to Govindakund carrying butter and yogurt and ghee, Krishna with Madhu Mangal, Subal, and some of the other gopas would stop them to tax them. And there was all these beautiful little loving exchanges. And that is Dangati. And Sri Radha's footprints are there even today. And a little further down is Dana Nivartan Kund. One time when Krishna, this is described by Raghunath Das Goswami, one time when Krishna was taxing gopis, he wanted to tax Sri Radha for all the beautiful parts of her body. For her teeth, because they were so beautiful, she had to pay like hundreds and thousands of pure pearls. And for eyes, you know, she, every part of her body, diamonds and pearls and jewels. And it was a very loving exchange. And Krishna would not let them go. And there was a nice argument, and Lalita Sakhi, I'm very much making it short because it's very late. But Lalita Sakhi said that, Krishna, who are you to tax us? Sri Radha is Vrindavan Eshwari. She is the queen of Vrindavan. We should be taxing you because your cows are eating Sri Radha's grass. Every blade of grass is taxable. So there was this, and Krishna was not letting them go, and the gopis were saying, if you don't honor Sri Radharani, then we will go and we will tell Yashodamai, or we will tell Jatila, and they will all come and they will punish you. And Krishna said, and it was becoming very, very ecstatically heated. Then Nandi Mukhi, who was a disciple of Sandipani Muni, Nandi Mukhi came, and she was a gopi. She said, Krishna, let them go. And they will come back tomorrow to pay all the taxes you ask for. So Krishna let them go. So the next day, Sri Radha and her gopis brought
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gopis, and they came early. And when Krishna, Subal, Madhumangal, and a few cowherd boys came to get their tax, they surrounded them. And they actually captured them. Hundreds of them. And Krishna became very humble. And Lalita Sakhi brought Krishna before Sri Radharani, who was sitting on her little throne of stone and jewel, and said, "Now you must accept Sri Radharani as the presiding queen and proprietor of Vrindavan." And this is a very important lila, because it was there at Dana Nivartan Kund that Krishna, in the ecstasy of his love, manifested the very culmination and essence of Braj Bhumi, that he has conquered by the love of his devotee. He put his head bowing down on Sri Radha's lotus feet and proclaimed that, "I am yours. You are the queen of Vrindavan." When we chant the Maha Mantra, Hare, we call out for Sri Radha, because she is the proprietor of love, the proprietor of devotion. Srila Prabhupada took these incredible, intimate, loving pastimes of the Goswamis and the Vedic literatures and presented it in such a simple way to us. In one beautiful lecture, Prabhupada explained that love for Krishna is only possible with the grace of Sri Radha. Therefore, in Vrindavan, everyone knows this. The greatest treasure is the grace of Sri Radha. So in Vrindavan, people are more fond of chanting Radha's name even than Krishna, because Krishna is only approachable through the grace of Radha. Krishna accepts the subordinate position to Sri Radha's love. On Diwali, we discussed how Krishna was bound by the rope of Yashoda Mai. And in the Madhurya Ras, Krishna is forever bound by the love. The Radha Damodar Lila is where Sri Radha binds Krishna with her love. The Hare Krishna mantra, Hare. Hari is the name of Krishna. Hari means one who steals, one who steals away all inauspiciousness. Krishna's Makanchor, Hari. That means he steals the butter from the house of the gopis. But actually, the gopis make their butter only so that Krishna will come and steal it. And similarly, when our hearts become soft and sweet like butter, churned through the process of bhakti, hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, the ultimate goal of our life is Krishna so pleased with our devotion that he will steal our hearts, Hari. And Sri Radha is Hare. She, her love. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes in the conversation between Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the body of Krishna is Satchit Ananda and Sri Radha. They don't have material forms. Every aspect of their form is their bhav. Sri Radharani's form is Mahabhav. Every limb, every ornament is a pure personified manifestation of her love for Krishna.
Sri Radha is Hare. Through her, through the beauty of her love, she steals the heart of Krishna. That is the innermost secret of Vrindavan. And that is the inner secret of the realization that we can experience through the chanting of the Maha Mantra. You sound very tired.